Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. Luke is here. Adam as well. As per usual, we're back on track, that kind of thing. So good to have you with us. Happy Monday morning, afternoon, evening, whenever it is, in the car, on the road, wherever you are. Thanks for joining us. If it's your first time, welcome. We're glad you're with us. Our usual routine for the podcast is to do some check-in and some fun to talk about Sunday's message at Corinth and then wrap up with a game. If you're with us every week, you know that. And so we're going to jump in and do just that. So guys, check in. How are you feeling this week?
I'm feeling good. I don't think I have any complaints, which is not usual. I could usually
find a thing or two to complain about.
But yeah, everything is good right now for me. So
yeah, I was reading Philippians 2 today and reminded I'm supposed to do everything without complaining
or arguing. That was That was my children's minister's favorite verse. Yeah. So shout out to Ronnie Morgan over in San Antonio, Castle Hills Christian Church.
Is he a regular listener?
What's that?
Is he a regular listener?
Probably not.
We've talked about this a while ago. Do any of our parents know that this exists/listen?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. If my mom did listen, then she would have texted me about last week because I confessed last week on the podcast that I maybe once or twice pocketed the money that they gave me
to the
offering plate.
Okay.
So if she did listen, I think I would have heard from her.
So if you confess it and nobody hears you, did you really confess it?
Well, I mean, I confessed it to Melissa here last week and the audience who listens. I mean, that is a confession that is available now.
People can
listen to that confession.
Yeah, but you didn't wrong any of them. You wronged your parents. And
well,
so.
I've wronged the Lord. So that is just...
Details.
You know, just a kid who pocketed, and then next up in my Bible reading plan is Acts chapter 5, and I'm like, oh, no.
Exactly. Oh, no.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
All right, so four services with Sunday. So how did that go?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
We don't know.
You're listening post the four service shift. So exciting times at Corinth.
Yeah.
People keep coming. And
thank you to all of you for attending the 11:30 service.
Exactly.
We're so grateful.
Know that if you're listening to this, you were at 11:30.
So God continues to do great things, and we're going to focus on that. No, just kidding. But seriously, it is good. It's exciting. It's a shift that we've done before, but so that kind of helps. But we're excited to do it again.
Yeah, I think it was 16 or 17. I can't remember. I think it was 16. Whenever we had it, or maybe it might have been 17.
I never knew Corinth
without it.
Without it until the core of it happened, and we had to slow down a little bit. But when I got here as an intern in 2018 and full time in 2019, it was the full four service swing the whole time.
Yeah, great.
November's coming. That means only 2 months left of the year. Are you guys ready for the last 8 weeks of the year?
I don't know what sounds worse. Whenever you say 2 months or 8 weeks.
I know, man.
8 weeks sounds worse.
8 weeks sounds worse. It's like,
From right now, it's technically more than 8 weeks, but by the time, it's not too far away. So
nope.
And if you think about how like two of those weeks are basically just
a wash.
Well, I think Thanksgiving
and Christmas.
I think Sunday the 29th is Sunday 44 of the year. So I do think it is.
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Okay.
Because it ends on New Year's Eve.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
So, I do think it is technically, it is 8 weeks to go.
Okay. Wow.
Happy New
Year's. Is this a 53-week year?
53-Sunday week?
53-Sunday?
No, yeah. I don't believe so.
Okay.
Next week, next year? Won't be either.
It happens every couple of years.
A leap year is next year. I know that.
Is it?
I think so.
Every 4 years, I think.
Man,
I think
we are so
February,
sharp.
February 29th.
Dynamite.
And the Olympics.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that is right.
I think leap year happens on the Olympics year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Summer Olympics,
yep.
At least. Look at all this stuff we know.
Just a plethora of knowledge.
That's right.
Let's see.
Do you know what plethora means?
A lot.
Okay, there you go.
Do you know what a plethora of piñatas is?
No, I don't. Is there an answer to that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you get a sweater for Christmas?
No.
It's a sweater.
But, so I'll tell you this. For Christmas, as a kid, you hate opening up a present and getting clothes.
Mm, right? I love
like
it now.
The socks and the sweaters. That's all I want.
Because
I'm like too stubborn to buy my own clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So Sasha loves socks.
Christmas, I get a new wardrobe and it's just great. It's fantastic.
Sasha loves socks, like the cozy ones. You know, you sit around the house and by the fire and drink coffee or whatever. So it's probably every year she gets a pair of like a new pair of cozy socks. So her sock drawer doesn't really shut very well.
Yeah.
Now there's so many socks.
So now she needs a new sock drawer. Bigger.
Does she have the pair to every sock that she has? So she hasn't lost any?
That's impressive. She'll throw them away if there's no.
I kid you not. I lose a pair every time I do laundry.
A pair or a sock?
Well, a sock.
So you do you throw it away or do you just like, eventually it's going to show up.
Eventually. But right now I have like seven or eight.
In my closet, I have neatly stacked probably about 12 or 14 socks that I'm just waiting for that the other one to show up.
So this gets this. So Sasha hates it that I have this. I've liked different kinds of socks because like you run or whatever.
Right.
So I have, I mean, there's Saucony, there's Baliga, there's, several different brands of socks. She's like, why do you have like eight different types of socks? Because you can't match them. So are you guys like that? Or do you have just one pair of socks
about,
all the same?
I don't know about different brands, but different types for sure. Yeah. Cause I have a good amount of dress socks that are more for the dress shoes to wear with. I've got athletic socks, like basketball socks, and I've got some warm socks for winter disc golf and some thicker socks for summer disc golf and and ankle socks. And I've got different types. I don't know that I'm particular about
the brand.
Usually for me, it's like, oh, this was cheap at Walmart.
Yeah. Right. So, but there's so many different brands and things that it's, you know, you can't just dig through the laundry basket and get the first two socks because they're not going to
match. They're not the match.
So here's another sock question. So how frequently do you buy new socks and get rid of old ones?
Ooh. I don't know.
I threw some socks away.
Was it painful?
About a couple of months ago.
Did it hurt?
It hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them were like...
They're like old friends.
Some of them were like freshman year of Bible college socks. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
Yeah,
there was just like it got to the point to where so many of my socks just had a massive hole in the big toe, and I'm just like,
So it's that, or they just get so thin because you've just worn them so many times. I've got a few pair of Adidas ankle socks that I've had for probably 3 or 4 years now, and they're close companions.
Yeah, my favorite socks are Adidas little crew socks. It's what I wear for disc golf all the time.
Okay,
they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Super comfy.
Yep.
Great sock.
Didn't see that conversation coming. Hey, here's a question. Can you name this song? This has been in my head the last couple of weeks. This is Your Life. Are You Who You Want to Be?
Switchfoot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're meant to live.
Is it everything you dreamed that it would be when the world was younger and you had everything to lose? Yeah, Switchfoot. Beautiful letdown. Yep. Here's what I find hard to believe. That came out when I was in high school.
Did you know they just did a re-release of it?
That's why I've been listening to it replay.
You can listen to the Jonas Brothers sing. What is this Jonas Brothers one that they do?
Yeah, it's good.
I can't remember which song it is, but Reliant K does Ammunition.
Yeah, Reliant K. I love Reliant K. So Reliant K was my band.
Yeah.
Like in middle school, every time they put out an album, I was going to the local Christian store and I was buying that CD.
Yep.
With all of the hard-earned money that I made.
Yep. Sadie Hawkins dance and your khaki pants.
Yep.
Nothing better.
Do you like my sweater?
Loved it.
No, that re-release album is fantastic.
Yeah. So here's what's a little depressing, though. It's the 20-year re-release, and that came out in my junior year of high school.
Welcome to it.
Yeah.
I was 7.
Oh man. So
I think I just learned how to say Switchfoot.
Yeah. I was your youth minister. So there's that.
But man, it's such a good album. So if you need some new listening music, they
old listening.
Well, old listening, but also new because they it's all the songs
oldie
are covered.
But a goodie.
Man, it's so good. But that did get me thinking because Sunday we started a brand new series called Searching. Mm-hmm. And just that question, are you who you want to be? Like this is your life. Are you who you want to be? Is it everything you dreamed? And then, of course, the other song, too, just We Were Meant to Live for so much more. Enough about Switchfoot, but the sermon series, Searching. Adam, take it away. Why are we doing this sermon series? It's the next, this week and then 4 more weeks.
Yeah.
Why are we doing it? Where are we going? That kind of stuff.
So this one actually has a little bit of an interesting backstory that I don't even know. This is a podcast exclusive. Because I don't know that I'm ever going to share this from stage I just don't want
to. Do we need a sound for a podcast exclusive?
What would be the great? Here we go. How about a?
There we go. Podcast exclusive.
It's a podcast.
Exclusive.
Exclusive.
Late night FM DJ voice.
Yes. So really where this one all came from was I was having a conversation with my almost 22-year-old son. He'll be 22 in November. And said, hey, I want to chat with you and your circle of friends. And I just would love for y'all to help me. I was like, I got a sermon series coming up in November that I don't have anything planned for. And I want to know what would be a sermon series that you would be interested in listening to. And so it did not end up being the long, in-depth conversation that I was hoping for because they're 20, 21 years old guys. But I was able to get a few of them together. They even got one of them on the phone or FaceTime. And so we're sitting at the table, and it's like, so what would you guys want to hear? And they started talking about, well, how do I stay motivated? How do I find meaning? How do I know that, Christianity is what I really should be giving my life to? And they just started rattling off all these things. And so as I was scribbling notes down and just kind of pondering what they said and trying to peel back, even from just the trying to get to the real, what would it be?
Almost the question under the question.
Yes, the question under the question. That's a great way to phrase it, Josh. It's like, so what is the question under the question? And what I was hearing from them is, where's purpose? Mm-hmm. And that as I look at that age group of, and I can throw this way a little bit broader, from about 19 to about, Luke, what do you think, 25?
Yeah, I would say so.
What I see and what I observe is that there is a lack, and especially in young men, there is a lack of purpose to their life. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of meaning. They don't know why they're here. They don't know what they're supposed to be trying to do. And so that kind of just gives birth to this idea of a series. It's like, what are they doing? They're searching. And what are they looking for? Significance and purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of just the idea, or that's where the genesis of the series came from.
Yeah.
And so I am equally stoked and terrified to preach this series, because I do feel like it's one of the more consequential series. It has the potential to be one of the more consequential series that we do, and it feels like there's a lot riding on it.
Yeah.
For me. And so that's really where it all comes from. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for 5 weeks is just, where do we find purpose? Where do we find meaning? Where do we find belonging? Where do we find connection? Where do we find truth? And just kind of going through those big questions. Yeah. Those are the questions. They're not new questions.
No.
They're questions that have been asked for ages and centuries. They feel more urgent right now.
Yeah.
Especially, once again, for young men in our culture.
Yeah. And I think some of that is... maybe the risks that are out there, there's maybe some higher stakes.
Yes.
Because young people, but young men in particular, have always been maybe rebellious or gone through some years where they're searching, mm-hmm. and looking for answers for how to be a man, how to be mature. And anyway, there's more opportunities now that we can hurt ourselves deeper.
Yeah. That, and in the years past, we were still in a quote-unquote Christian culture.
That's right, yeah.
Now they're searching in this post-Christian world to where the default answer that's coming back to them is not mm-hmm. seek God, love God, walk humbly, do mercy, all those things.
Micah 6.
Yeah, that's not the answer that's coming back. It's you do you, follow your heart, what feels right to you, and... Right.
Find your truth.
Yeah, I would say culturally, we're just in a different place than we ever have been.
Yes.
And it feels like that culture is kind of trying to diminish what young men are supposed to become.
Yes.
And psychologically, we're in a different place than we ever have been as well, because adolescence continues to increase and increase and increase.
Yeah.
But I was thinking this
you're
is
still, you're still one, technically. Just kidding.
Right. Like
you're not.
I'm 27 years old, and I still am an adolescent.
Some would say that.
And so... But I was thinking about this philosophically and with some help from just a study that I found on Exodus, just really, really smart people talking about Exodus. And one of the things that I thought was really intriguing was So you've got Israel's becoming a threat to Egypt because they just keep having babies. And Pharaoh, what does he do? He wants to take out all of the men, all of the young men, and basically reduce the potential of that nation to only its potential. And you take that philosophically and you start to thread that principle throughout all of history. And then you look at where we're at in our culture right now.
We can't even define what a man or a woman is.
Know what a man or a woman is. And there's some sort of power grab structure at the top that's trying to maybe just diminish what the young man's
almost like
be.
Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and ruler of the world.
And so no wonder, you know, our 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old dudes are kind of graduating high school and not really feeling any motivation for what am I supposed to do here?
And you throw in a global pandemic to where a lot of, you know, key markers in life were ripped away, taken away. And for wherever your opinion lies on COVID, I think that for the young people, they can really struggle to say to what end? What was the reason behind it? So anyway, that's why it feels hyper consequential to me.
So it's interesting.
Maybe that's not, I'm not sleeping at night right now.
Well, I think that's good. And I think it's a reminder for all of us, whether we're communicating on a Sunday morning or just showing up to church. When you said that a while ago, Adam, you said, you know, I am equally stoked and frightened. And I think maybe that's just a reminder we all need to hear, that every week at church, we should be, I mean, we're walking into the presence of a holy God. Like we should be frightened in the sense of not scared of him necessarily like that, but just remember his power and who he is, but also stoked because we get to be with his people and we are his children. So that's kind of a cool phrase. I read this last night, or I was reminded of it. Another book quoted the Screwtape letters. And Screwtape is like a master demon in this book, training his nephew demon, Wormwood.
And C.S. Lewis, so creative.
You know, when he wrote that book, he had some dark times afterwards. He had some depression.
I would imagine.
Because he had thought like a demon for so long. But here's interestingly what he said. In the demonic training, he said, if you just ruin a word, then you don't have to fight anymore because the word has been ruined. So, for example, when you said a while ago, we don't even know what a man is anymore. We've ruined that word in a culture. We don't have cultural rites of passage for what it means to really be a man anymore. And so, what have we done culturally? We have made our own rites of passage of sleeping around or getting drunk or doing drugs to a certain extent. And because we want to feel so much that we have the power, the maturity, or whatever it is. We want some rite of passage because we've never been given one. And so it's just interesting to think about that kind of Screwtape letters. If we ruin the word, then we've already won.
The battle's won.
So, man, words are important.
They are.
We're all searching. Luke, as you read through, what kind of stuck out to you? What was a big takeaway for you from this first message?
It kind of, as I was reading through, and as Adam, you're talking through kind of the reason for this series, I'm looking at this and I'm like, this looks like a youth ministry sermon, you know, like identity, belonging, purpose, all that sort of stuff. It's like, this is some of the stuff that we really, really try to hit on all of the time because we want to graduate students who do, you know, have an idea of what purpose looks like. And so, I was just, I scribbled down some notes, just on the why purpose matters. So like knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. And one of the just silly things that I've shared with teenagers before is just like, if it's really true that you were created to glorify God, then your life is going to experience most joy whenever you are functioning as you were created to function. And so I always throw out like a hammer was created to drive nails into surfaces. A hammer was not created to reheat my chicken sandwich. So if I go to a hammer with a chicken sandwich and I say, hey, will you reheat this? That hammer is going to all of a sudden have an identity crisis.
It's going to struggle.
Like, what am I going to do with this? I don't know.
What is a hammer?
Because a hammer was supposed to drive nails, So that was funny. But like on the other hand, a microwave was created to reheat my chicken sandwich. but not to drive nails into surfaces, right? And so you think about just us, like we were created to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And so anytime we try to do something outside of that design, that's whenever we start to fall apart. That's whenever we think, oh, well, I don't know what my purpose is, or I don't really find significance in my life, or I'm not really experiencing joy because I'm going about it in all the wrong places. But every single time, and you can ask anybody that's followed Jesus for a time and has not followed Jesus for a time, it's like, when did your life experience the most joy and the most purpose and the most fulfillment? It's whenever I was functioning the way that I was created to function, which is to glorify God. So I just thought that was a really strong part of the sermon.
Josh, I remember a conversation I had with your brother-in-law, Jordan. So Jordan is a worship leader, does an incredible job. And it was, I think, my last CIY as quote-unquote youth minister, you were on board. And Jordan,
he was there.
He was leading worship. I think that was one of the first times he had led at a CIY as well. Excuse me, move. Old habits die hard.
It is CIY. Move.
Yeah. Anyway. But I remember talking to him afterward. I was like, so how does it feel to be doing what you feel like God created you to do? And I just remember him just going, it's not like profound, but it's like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, to just feel like you're doing what God put you on the earth to do, there is nothing like that. That feeling, which is why this is so important, even if you keep it at the blimp level of God created me to bring glory to Him,
right?
And it's like, if I'm doing that, then I know that I'm achieving what I was put on this earth to do, and that can be at the bank, that can be, you know, as a checkout teller, that can be serving tables, cleaning tables, fixing transmissions. It's leading your family well, being a good husband, being a good wife, being a good grandparent. I mean, all those things are bringing glory to God. And it's like, whenever you're doing that well, there is nothing like that.
Right.
Yeah. And I think something that just popped into my head, I heard recently, we tend to overestimate what we should be doing in one day, but underestimate what we can do in a decade.
Correct.
And so just a word of encouragement, maybe you feel like, hey, today, I didn't live out my full potential, or you know, my full potential. I could have done this and this and this and this and this. And we tend to overestimate what we should do in one day, but just keep the grind going, because in a decade of faithful, God glorifying life, you look back in 10 years, like there's a lot that's happened.
It's the Eugene Peterson book that I never finished.
You can finish it in the next decade.
Yeah. Long obedience in the same direction.
Long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So. There was a lot of scripture in this message, and I mean, there's hundreds of more that we could have read about identity, because it's all through the Bible from page one to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the key verse that we kind of started with was Colossians 1, 15 to 16. Luke, you have that?
Yeah, I've got it.
So let's read it out. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. That's Colossians 1, 15 through 16.
Everything through him and for him. It's a powerful verse. Adam, one other thing you said in the sermon, I chuckled at this. Purpose of life predates conception of life.
Yes.
So, this is like before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
Exactly.
You were a purpose in the eye of God, you know?
Yeah.
It just kind of made me laugh.
He created it in advance for us to do.
Yeah, and that's one of the verses later, Ephesians 2:10. You've been created on purpose to do good works, like in advance.
Yeah.
So, man, what a challenge. But everything, thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, even in the unseen world, everything created by him and for him. Where did you get that verse in the Bible? Describe to me the process of kind of why that one became the key verse for this one. Because there's a lot probably.
Oh, yeah.
Why was that one rising to the top?
I think that it is just the phrase, everything was created through him and for him. Mm-hmm.
It's the word and.
Yeah. So it's the everything is huge. So that means
us.
Everything.
In the Greek, that means everything.
It means everything. There's nothing that does not that exist that was not created through him. But to me, it was also that phrase, it for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and it is for his pleasure, for his glory. And that's why, and I'm skipping way ahead, but I think it was Isaiah 43. Where am I? Come on now. Yeah. Isaiah 43:7 says, "For I have made them for my glory."
Yeah.
It was I who created them. And so it's just that just great reminder that there is a creator. And so that is one of those fundamental truths that we just have to understand and we have to know is, and this is, you know, it is so important. And this is, once again, in our post-Christian culture, you don't hear this, that there is a creator.
Yeah.
And he created us.
And that's really why you started the sermon with, if you're never going to get to the destination,
correct,
if you're headed the wrong direction.
Correct.
So, I mean, I've heard it illustrated before. You're never going to get to Florida.
Driving north
on I-75.
Nope, like, ain't going to happen.
Not going to happen. I can try all, like, as hard as I want. Mm-hmm. I can believe it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No.
And so if we go looking for
meaning, you'll never find the Rockies by driving east from Atlanta.
Yep.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you don't start with this purpose or with this idea that there is a God, it is not me. Mm-hmm. He's a creator who created me for his glory. That's where everything really begins. And so if you're struggling for meaning, you're struggling for significance, then I think the polite, gentle, strong challenge would be is, what's your starting point? Mm-hmm. Where are you starting from? And if you're starting with yourself, and that, once again, I know I'm jumping ahead, you'll never achieve your purpose. Mm-hmm. You never will.
Yeah, I ask the right questions to get the right answers.
Exactly. And
if you're not asking the right questions, mm-hmm, you're going to get answers. Which, by the way, when you ask questions, keep asking them. Mm-hmm. Doubt is not toxic to your faith.
No.
It's unexpressed doubt that is toxic to your faith.
Yeah.
But where you ask is important. So ask in a circle of believers, not Google.
Yeah, Google's not always your best friend.
Google is quick, but it's not best. Yeah.
Google can help you figure out how to reheat that chicken sandwich better than a microwave.
Yeah, but it's not going to send you to a hammer, though.
No. Hopefully it'll send it to an air fryer.
Ooh. Yeah. But do you put the bread in the air fryer separately?
At the very
end. It'll crisp it up.
At the very end.
Crisp. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Helpful hacks.
All right. Midway through, that's a kind of commercial here for our favorite kitchen appliance.
Yeah, air fryers are awesome.
Yeah, they are. We have one.
Mm-hmm.
Make some nice French fries.
Absolutely. So.
All right, let's get back on track. why purpose matters, Adam, we're just going to go through this pretty quickly. And once again, you probably could have gave 20 reasons why purpose matters. Five of them, you said, it gives meaning to your life.
Mm-hmm.
It simplifies your life.
Mm-hmm.
It focuses your life, which mm-hmm. is a little different than simplifying.
Yep.
Motivates your life and prepares you for eternity. So give us some broad brushstrokes on those, and then maybe just pick one out that you want to just talk about a little bit, and any examples from your life that come to mind for how those have been true for you, both of you.
So meaning is what allows you to endure the difficulties. If you know that there is a purpose for your life, then you're able to push through pain. Simplifies is, it really means whenever you know what you're supposed to do, it helps you understand what to do and what not to do. And focus is, it's about effort and energy. It's a concentration. Yeah. And so we find effectiveness through being selective. And so it helps answer the question, like, what are the things I should be doing? And it's like, A, I should be doing the thing I was created to do. B, are the things that lead to the thing that I was created to do.
Okay. Yeah.
C, are the urgent and important. And D, are the things that just people expect of me. And those generally you just shouldn't do, or you delegate.
Yeah.
And then motivation, and then preparing you for eternity. And I, even since you guys have seen my notes, I even fleshed that out a little bit more.
Okay, cool.
Of just basically, Romans 14 says that each of us will give a personal account to God.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So that's verse 12. And the way I've heard it phrased, and the way I'll say it Sunday, is everyone's going to have to give a personal account to two questions. What did you do with Jesus? And then what did you do with what God gave you? Relationships, resources, opportunities, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I've heard it said, this is how Rick Warren said it. He said, the first question determines where you spend eternity, and the second question determines what you do for eternity.
Mm.
And so when you know your purpose, it's going to prepare you for that. And so in a lot of ways, a series like this is trying to help you answer those two questions. What are you going to do with Jesus? And then what will you be doing for eternity because of the response you've given to Christ?
Sure. So, Luke, pick one of those. Any examples come to your mind? Which one sticks out just as you read through them?
Yeah, I mean, all of them. I mean, I could run through all of them and just be like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I don't know, if I was just going to pick one, I'll just say focuses, right? Like, mm-hmm. So knowing that what God has called me to do is to minister faithfully to the people that he has given me influence over, mm-hmm. You know, the relationships that I have, the teen ministry here at the church and all yeah. that sort of stuff, knowing that that's what he's called me to do, then that means that it becomes really easy for me to say yes and no to the right and wrong things, mm-hmm. right? Like it just, my focuses are, mm-hmm. okay, well, that fits within the purpose that God's called me to do. So yes to that, mm-hmm. that doesn't fit.
Correct.
And so no to that. And so that just really, really helps kind of focus and clarify, not only what it is that I'm doing, but how I'm organizing my calendar. Mm-hmm. And how I'm going about each and every day in service of him. Mm-hmm. So I you could throw kind of like that language over motivation. You could throw that language over simplification. Like it's just, it makes it easier for me to say, well, yeah, that's something I'm going to be doing and prioritizing because that's what he's called me to do. And oh, well, that's not. So
yeah,
you know,
I'm gonna go with motivate. And just the illustration that I've heard recently is that nobody, like, think of a track athlete, like, it's not that they like running stairs or the laps. They like the results that gives them because they want to break the world record or they want to win the race. And I think purpose is like that too. Some of the spiritual disciplines that we do, it's not that we love the discipline itself. It's that what the discipline does gets us to the goal. And so it's a motivation type thing. Like when we have mm-hmm. purpose, we'll do the hard things because of the motivation that's there. So,
yeah. In fact, I think the line that I used on Sunday was passion fades when you lack purpose. Even getting out of bed becomes a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just getting up and facing the day is just like, mm-hmm. it's tough. It's tough sledding. Mm-hmm. But whenever you do have purpose in your life and you're like, this is what I'm here for.
Yeah. And it's wild to think about just people of history, like a guy named Viktor Frankl. Or Anne yeah. Frank, or some of the others that survived the Holocaust and concentration camps, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a really famous mm-hmm. German preacher. Like, how in the world did they stand, not only stand strong, but like thrive in that environment? Well, it's because they knew their purpose. Mm-hmm. And so even in the harshest situations, they thrived.
Well, and that's you know, the first one. It allows you to push through the pain,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
I know that if I'm called to do this, then, well, I know that if I'm called to glorify God by serving him, I do know that whenever I'm doing a pretty good job of that, that I have an enemy that's going to try to thwart that every now and then. So yeah. there will be some pain and struggle, but if I lose the reminder of purpose, then I mm-hmm. lose the passion or the ability to tread through the pain.
Do you know the name of the book Viktor Frankl wrote? I mean, I don't know if he wrote more than one.
Yeah. Man's Search for Meaning.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, yeah, because yeah. that came up in a couple of things. That's whenever you said that name, yeah. I was like, yeah, he wrote a book about that.
Man's
like,
Search
some
for
of the
meaning.
Stuff I was looking through.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a throwback. I remember Sherm Nichols talking about that book.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I don't.
I remember he said it one time. I mean, I don't know why. I heard a sermon he preached, and he referenced Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, and I think I checked it out from the OCC library.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't. Did you read it?
The okay. Seth Wilson Library.
Yeah, oh. yeah.
Wow.
Okay, with Scary Jesus on the porch.
Scary Jesus on the porch.
That is a real inside joke. Sorry. Here, back on track. Application. Let's talk about that. How are we going to put this into practice? Adam, you gave three kind of great application points to help think about it.
Yeah.
First one, God has a purpose for you, but newsflash, it's not about you.
Correct.
So explain that.
Yeah, this goes back to the greatest theological truth that anyone will ever discover, and it is mm-hmm. that there is a God and it is not me. Mm-hmm. And so it's whenever we begin to search for purpose, we can't begin with ourselves. And so much of what we try to do whenever we're trying to find meaning and purpose is we really try to go to self-help. And how do I do blah, blah.
Yeah, we try to pick what makes us feel good.
Yes. And that's why I shared from Matthew 16, the way Peterson paraphrases it in the Message. You know, Jesus says, according to Peterson, self-help is no help at all. It self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. And so it's about letting God have control and defining what your purpose is for you and not starting with you. So that's really what it is. Because generally, the more concerned we are about our own fulfillment, the less fulfilled we will ever be.
Yeah, that's an ironic truth of life, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So where do you think, let's just make it contextually about American Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The average of our age in here is maybe somewhere right in the middle, 30.
It's you.
30, well, maybe.
Right? Yeah, something like, you're like right in the middle
36,
of Adam.
And yeah, something like that. I'm older than you,
close.
By more than he's older than me.
Yeah, but
okay.
So are you 38?
38.
So we're off by 2 years because our average age would be 36.
Right.
Well, let's just put it this way. Adam was Josh's youth minister. And if I grew up and went to Corinth Christian Church, there would have been
true.
A time where Josh was my youth minister.
True. I would have been annoyed at all the donuts you ate.
Yeah.
I ate a lot.
All right. So 36-year-old man here at Corinth, raising some kids. Let's just think, where are we most tempted to be successful, but then miss our purpose? Because you had this quote, it was great. Being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose are not the same.
Correct.
So where do you think it's most easily tempting for our, 36-year-old guy raising some kids, trying to be a good dad? Where is it tempting to be successful but miss purpose?
Well, I think it's by the things that people see, whether it's the house you live in, the truck you drive, is your kid making the all-star team? Are you coaching the team and they're making the playoffs and all this other nonsense? Sorry. but that's a really easy place to find meaning.
Yeah.
And it's a very lousy place to find meaning,
mm-hmm.
because it's fickle. It will not. It may last. I can say that. It could last. Your kid could be a stud baseball player until all the way up to college, and he could go get a scholarship and all those other kind of things, and you could just feel like, man, we just killed it on that. But it's not eternal.
Sure.
And so one of the things on the this is jumping backwards ahead. So I'm just going back and forth today.
That's great.
We make our own rules. I told the story, James Dobson. So Focus on the Family, James Dobson.
Okay, yeah.
He had a goal that in college he wanted to be the tennis champion, like that he wanted to be the best tennis player that anybody had ever been at the school.
Okay.
And so he worked really, really hard, and he did. He became a champion. They placed his trophy in the trophy case at the school. And so he went off, started doing Focus on the Family kind of stuff. And one day, years later, he got that trophy in the mail. Because someone had found it in the trash can. They were remodeling the school, and they just got that trophy, and like, nobody needs this anymore, so they just threw it away. So somebody saw it and saw James Dobson's name on it, so just thought, it's into you.
Yeah. What a story.
But this is what he said. He said, given enough time, all your trophies will be trashed by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's why these things that we go to for meaning that are here today, gone tomorrow, they don't last. They are fickle. They are it is building your house upon the sand instead of the solid rock. And so I think that's where I see guys going. I see young men feeling like failures because they're not millionaires at 24 years old.
Yeah. It's huge.
Because there's this guy on TikTok or this guy on YouTube.
Making a ton of money.
I should own like four houses by now.
Mm-hmm.
And
truthfully be a little bit of a philanthropist too.
Yes.
Like, cause they're looking at all of that, right? Like they're looking at all of that and being like, oh, look at how he can bless these random people. Uh-huh. But I think, one of the things we talked about in the teen room right now, we're in a series. This is a fun one. We're in a series called I Don't Hate It.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we're talking about some of the topics that we assume Jesus would hate. But maybe he like actually doesn't. Maybe he just goes about it a little bit differently than the cultural normal. And so last night we talked about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like reality is Jesus never says, I hate money, right, or I love money. He just goes about it in a really different way. And I told the story of Henry Ford. You guys know the story of Henry Ford?
I know who he is.
Assembly line, yes. Ford Motor Company. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like half of America drives a Ford and all that sort of stuff.
Whether you believe you can or can't, you're right.
Right.
It's his famous quote.
And so he like grew up on a farm in Michigan. Money was hard to come by, but he really loved like working with his hands and mechanical things. And so when he was 16, he moved to Detroit. And he started getting he got a job. He mm-hmm. became somewhat successful, middle class type of a guy. Started two businesses, failed them, and then had to borrow $28,000 to start the Ford Motor Company. Wow. And this is in 1903, so $28,000 is $975,000 or something like that. So he borrowed that. Obviously, Ford Motor Company was a success. He becomes, by estimation, the richest man in America during his lifetime.
Yeah.
Net worth of, at that time, $1.2 billion, which today would be like over $200 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but everybody thought he had it, but he was famous for some of these quotes. Like he shared, I was happier when I was just doing the job of a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
A reporter asked him to estimate his net worth, and he looked at the reporter and said, I don't know and I don't care. He said one time that money is like a six-sided blade. It's got some uses, but it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so these, you know, I'm sharing the story, and the teenagers are like, oh man, this is awesome. Like, that's the American dream. You start from nothing, you work mm-hmm. hard, mm-hmm. you become successful, you make a ton of money, and you use that money to live comfortably and to bless others, which is what Henry Ford did. He was a big philanthropist too. But even Henry Ford understood, this ain't it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like this ain't it.
Right.
And so I think that there's kind of this underlying pursuit of happiness that we've all kind of gotten into, and mm-hmm. That's not our purpose.
Right.
And so we try to find significance and happiness in living comfortably or in making sure that we have what we quote unquote need or mm-hmm. having the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence house with the Suburban and the truck. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. if that's what we've made life about, then as a follower of Jesus and really as a human being, we've missed the point entirely.
Right.
And so I think that that's kind of where we're coming from. We miss it because we're kind of living in this norm where it's like, oh, Gotta have this American dream and be successful. And so you get these 20, 21, 22-year-olds
right.
who are a little bit more slowed down just because of the way the culture is right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't ever see that being something attainable for me.
Right.
And the good news for them is like, that's not supposed to be what you're attaining anyway. And so I just think that that's...
Yeah, it's not supposed to be the aim of... Them. It's not supposed to be the aim of your life.
Right.
You know, achieving those things isn't
not
the
a
problem.
Bad thing. Right.
That's not
a bad
the problem.
Thing.
It's But it the problem becomes alignment. And
correct.
It's what are you driving at and what is your ultimate goal? And, you know, that's that Copernican Copernican revolution. There we go. That you've got to have to where it's like, oh, wait a second. I'm not the center of the universe.
Correct.
Yep.
My wants and my desires aren't the center of the universe. Jesus is the one who holds the entire universe together. And so it's what he wants. And so I'm going to drive after him, and whatever blessings he throws my way, then I'll accept mm-hmm. and go.
Which means I'm going to choose to align myself with the things that bring him glory, because that's mm-hmm. what I was created to do.
Exactly.
And maybe not necessarily the things that just make me feel good.
Right.
Which is what a lot of people are after. They're after the quick hits. What's mm-hmm. going to make me feel good right now?
Give me that dopamine rush, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, there's something better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, because, I mean, not part of this conversation, but there are biblical things that give us all the same sort of bodily chemicals like dopamine and serotonin,
mm-hmm.
like when we are in community or serve people, mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff. God actually created those chemicals, so it's not surprising.
Whenever you give.
Yeah, when you give.
Mean, it really is. I didn't make it into the generosity series, but I read a fascinating article about Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
Because he's just done some really just crazy, generous things for people. And one of the reasons why he's as popular as he is on YouTube and stuff is because of how generous he is. That's not meaning we're recommending go listen to his channel, because his language is going to be a little rough. But yeah, it's just kind of crazy. He's how well known this guy is for that. So yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. But the point is that it is. If you're going to start with yourself to try to find your purpose, mm-hmm. you're going to be disappointed the entire time.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Number two, God has a purpose And it's mostly about what he's doing in you. I love that. Was this where, Michelangelo.
Yeah.
That was a fun illustration. He started with just the big stone.
Yeah.
And he said, David's inside that. Mm-hmm. So there was chipping away.
Yeah.
And so I guess the reminder for us is that sometimes as God chips away, it's it feels bad.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
But there's a masterpiece in there.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines that you used here, Adam, was that God is more interested in making us holy rather than just happy.
Yeah.
And it's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't feel like holiness and happiness are exclusive.
Nope.
But once again, it's order.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You know, where, cause like, you know, even in the Beatitudes, it's be happy if, be happy if, you know, and so it's just, it's the order of it. And once again, if you're pursuing happiness over holiness, may get some temporary stuff. I mean, sure. But if you're pursuing holiness first, then happiness gets thrown in there because you're achieving what you were created to do.
Correct. Exactly.
So
you're in alignment.
Yeah. Anything else on that one? We had the Greek word study of poema. Super
every
fun.
Preacher's favorite word because it's an easy Greek word. It's an easy Greek word to
like
say.
We get our word poem from
exactly
poema.
Right.
Did you catch that?
Did you catch that? Where does this word come from?
It means masterpiece.
Come on, class.
God pieced you together, word by word.
But it's true.
It is true.
And it's a good truth to remember. Finally, God has a purpose, and if you surrender, he will fulfill it. So kind of maybe the other side of the coin, number one. So explain kind of where you were going with that, Adam.
Yeah, so this is where we're trying to find, where we are unveiling what is the actual purpose for our life.
Right. Yep.
And it is to bring, we are intended for his glory. We are to be pointing towards him. I think it may have been Louis Giglio at one point that said that we are to... we need to be more like the moon.
Moon that reflects the sun, sure.
Yeah, that reflects the light instead of trying to be our own star, which is a source of light. And so it's just that idea of how are we making him famous? How are we bringing glory to him? Because that's what he has created us for. We are intended for his glory. And and then I love what C.S. Lewis said. Yeah. So is he a square on the bingo card? C.S. Lewis?
I would say so now,
yeah.
Is he now? Okay.
Yeah.
He says, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. God is saying, I just want you to enjoy who I am. I am a good God who loves you, who created you, who has a purpose for you, which is to bring glory to me. But bringing glory to me is going to, that's where you're going to find ultimate satisfaction in this life. Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, like that's the whole narration of creation and of restoration. It's I'm creating humanity, Adam and Eve, and I am living life with them.
Yep.
Walking with them each and every day. We separated ourselves. God had to intervene through the work of his son.
Yeah.
We now place our faith in Jesus, and we ultimately look forward to the day that everything's restored back to that.
Yep.
Our purpose is to glorify him, and the way that we do it is to exist in his presence and to live life with him, know him intimately.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, I think about parenting sometimes with this because we'll suggest something to our kids and they don't see the value in it. And it's not because I am so self-centered and want them to do it my way, but it's like, hey, I think I do know actually what would make you happier here. And that might be getting some sleep instead of kicking your sister's bed on top of you, you know, because in the morning you're going to be grumpy. And if you settle down, you'll be happy in the morning. And it's kind of like God saying, hey, it's not that I'm like some bigot that thinks I'm better than you. It's I love you and I know the right way. So do it my way. And
with our kids, it was like, when was the last time you had something to eat?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
you're
hangry.
You're a jerk right now, and what you need is you need a sandwich.
Yep.
Go eat something. And no, I'm not hungry. I'm fine. I know. And it's just like just the stubbornness, but that is what we do with God. It's he's like, would you just eat something?
Just take a nap and eat a sandwich.
Would you just do that? And we're like, how dare you be. Be so controlling and bossy towards me. What do you know?
Who are you to tell
who
me
are
what
you?
Is and isn't going to make me happy?
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm searching for the fleeting happiness And so that means I'm going to be able to do what I want with my body,
yep.
with my sexuality, with yep. my partners, my with money. My recreation, with my money, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, because he loves you, you're free to choose those things. Yeah. But where is that actually getting you?
Yeah. Yeah. How's that working out for you?
Yeah.
Which was the quote you shared, make yourself the center of the universe and nothing will work out for you.
Right.
Really, that's in the end.
Yes.
It might work out for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You can have pockets of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even pockets of fun. I think it was Craig Groeschel that said, if you're not having fun sinning, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Because sin is fun,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely not lasting and fulfilling. No. And it's, man, filled with so much regret. So,
yeah. Do you remember the story about Tom Brady?
After winning all the Super Bowls?
It was like after Super Bowl 3 or 4, maybe 2. I don't know. Like, I won so many of them.
Depressed in the hotel room or
whatever. Yeah, he's depressed in a hotel room. And he's just like, I just thought that this would bring me more fulfillment. I just thought I'd be happier.
And it's so that's a very popular story that's been shared a lot. People mm-hmm. they'll talk about that, but then go off and live. We just go off and live our own lives
mm-hmm.
doing the same thing, not chasing mm-hmm. Super Bowls.
Well,
but I mean, speak for yourself.
I mean,
speak for yourself, man.
Kind of looking forward to another one this year.
I am too, man. Yeah. Whenever they win, I win.
That's right.
All right. But we do the same thing with some of our own pursuits, and we say that same phrase.
Yeah.
I thought this would make me happy.
Yeah.
I thought.
And it may be a momentary thing of happiness. Mm-hmm. I mean, you use the Super Bowl thing. You watch a team that's won the Super Bowl. There's momentary happiness there, man. It's a lot of celebration.
Yep. Yeah.
But a year later, nobody really cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, unless you're a hardcore sports fan, to name, like, so who was the last, several Super Bowl champions?
Right.
And, of course, because you've been following it super close. But
yeah.
Go back, like, 10 years. Yeah, who was that? And who was that? And we forget. Our memory
doesn't last. Let me Google that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it was your team.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
San Antonio Spurs, 99, 03, 05, 07, 14.
Yeah, but who's in the middle? You don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
And no other team knows those,
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
Wembanyama is tall, and he's playing.
7'4", 8-foot wingspan.
Yep.
Season opener last night.
Mm-hmm.
Played pretty well. Got into some foul trouble.
Lost.
Exciting to be a Spurs fan again.
Got beat by Dallas.
That's okay. It's exciting to be a Spurs fan again. We actually were on a televised
national game. You'll be on some TV.
And we'll be on some TV, so I'll get to watch them. It'll be good.
What year is Popovich now?
742.
All right. Man. Bottom line, though, of the message, Adam, what was the bottom line and challenge for us as we wrap up here?
Yeah, you cannot arrive at your purpose if you begin with yourself as the bottom line. And we've just been kind of repeating that throughout this entire podcast. Yeah. But the challenge was just like, so what's one way you're going to glorify God this week? What's one thing you're going to do?
Yeah.
And it may be an act of kindness. It may be I'm going to start every day this week with gratitude and quiet and solitude. I mean, there's a lot of options that are on the table there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about that John Piper quote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So, the glorifying God could be something outward where you serve someone, or it could be something inward where you say, I am going to wake up 5 or 10 minutes earlier and just, I'm going to sit with my cup of coffee and be very grateful in the presence of God.
Yeah. Or even it's I'm a dad or I'm a husband. And so, my purpose is to glorify God. So how am I going to glorify God? I'm going to glorify God by loving my wife as Christ loves the church. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure my kids see this. I want to make sure this week that she knows how much I love her, and I'm going to speak kindly to her, not harshly. I'm going to do these things for her. So the options are innumerable.
Endless.
There are, how about this, a plethora.
There is a plethora of options there.
Just like piñatas. Three amigos.
I was about to say, if you know, you're our
sweater. The singing bush. That's one of the greatest lines of that
All
movie.
Of the guys chipped in and we got you a little something.
Oh, man. All right.
Luke's going to get canceled for doing that accent. Yeah. It's cultural appropriation.
So for those of you that don't know, we did name our church vehicles after three amigos.
Yes.
But now we have to change because we have an additional vehicle. And so
we'll just call the old one the villain.
I think you should.
The old one is El Guapo.
El Guapo. Yeah, the old one needs to be El Guapo because nobody should ever go near it.
Yeah. Do you have anything besides Mexican food?
Do I have anything besides
Mexican food? All right. Well, so let's end with some fun today. We're already having fun, but and I'll give the choice. Do you guys want to work together or do you want to work separately?
Ooh,
so let's work together. Let's do a group project.
Together, man.
Let's do a group project.
Always all right.
Life
so we're
better.
Talking. We're talking about traveling and the destinations, and it's got me thinking about the geography of the United States.
Cool.
I want to see.
Glad we're working together because I need Adam to carry me.
I want to see here. I'm trying to guard this. You can't. You can't.
I'm not
going to look at this.
I'm not going to look. You're good.
All right. So we have how many states?
50.
All right. So together, you're going to name all 50. See if you can name all 50.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Do we have to go alphabetical order or anything like that?
Well, I've got them in alphabetical order.
That's probably the easiest way to think through it, right?
So well, I don't know. I think geographically, but it's you do you. It's your, you know. It's,
okay.
It's,
so do you just want to go back and forth?
Sure.
Alabama.
Arizona.
Arkansas.
We got 47 to go.
California.
Okay. Delaware. Connecticut.
Connecticut would be another C.
Mm-hmm.
Alphabetical order might be actually kind of hard now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
I Delaware, think geographically
might
just
be
me.
Easier.
That's just me.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Georgia, Texas, Missouri.
Okay, good.
Because right. those all are
right.
our
yep.
easy
right.
ones.
Okay, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Washington,
Oregon, Idaho.
Mm-hmm. Nevada,
Montana.
All right, hold on. I got Nevada, and then what'd you say?
Montana.
All right.
North, South Dakota.
Uh huh. Then Nebraska.
Yep. Did we say Montana?
I said Montana.
Okay.
Kansas.
Boo.
The state that we don't name that's below Kansas and above Texas. Or
is that
I don't
know. Is that Oklahoma?
It. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We said Texas. We said Missouri. We said
so
Iowa.
To the left of Texas would be.
Oh, we got New
Mexico.
Mexico. Mm-hmm.
And then we said Arizona and California.
Yeah.
So we're all good there.
Mm-hmm.
We did Nevada.
So let's go north. So Iowa. Wisconsin,
Michigan,
Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
All right, hold on. Michigan and Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
All right.
What's more fun is just watching Josh try to keep up with.
Oh, I know.
Indiana. Well,
Indiana, Illinois.
Illinois.
That's why I put them in alphabetical order, because I could find them quickly.
Kentucky.
Yep. Tennessee.
Tennessee. And then let's go to the bottom stretch real quick. It's
so it's Mississippi, Alabama.
Well, Louisiana, Alabama. Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then we'll go Florida underneath Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
North and South Carolina.
Uh-huh. West Virginia.
Would be good. And Virginia. And then let's hit Northeast and then we'll come back and fill in the gap.
So you got
Maine.
Maine, Connecticut, Delaware, Vermont.
All right, hold on.
Vermont.
Maine.
New York, New Jersey.
Delaware, Vermont. All right, then what'd you say?
New York, New Jersey.
Yeah, we haven't said Ohio yet either.
New Jersey,
Massachusetts.
New York.
Yeah. Ohio, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, North Dakota.
We already did that one.
Did we?
Yeah.
All right.
That's west.
Oh, we got to hit the two obvious outliers, Hawaii and Alaska.
Yeah, and Rhode Island.
Alaska, Rhode Island, Hawaii. Okay.
How many have we done?
Well, I'm seeing one in that column, and then one, two, three.
So we need
four.
So we need New Hampshire. Left.
New Hampshire.
Okay. New Hampshire. So you lack three.
This is where it's hard because I don't remember what we said.
Yeah, I know, right?
Give us some geographic idea of where we need to be.
Okay.
I feel like we haven't hit all of the east.
You're all over the place, actually. So you have one on the east coast, one in the north, and one in the southwest.
So one in the north. So
southwest.
Kind of north. It's kind of northwest, but not really north.
So Washington, Oregon.
I'll give you a hint. It's
Idaho. We
it's
said
number,
Idaho.
It's number 50. It's the last one alphabetically.
Oh my gosh, Wyoming.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
Wyoming. All right, you got two more.
You said that was north, not southwest. So southwest.
Yeah, Wyoming is north.
Well, yeah. I just southwest would be.
So we have one in the southwest quadrant.
That we missed. Is it Texas, New Mexico, Arizona? We
Nevada.
Said all those. Nevada. We said. We said California.
Utah is the one.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So now you're missing one on the East Coast.
On the East Coast.
North and South Carolina. What's above North Carolina?
Unless I missed it when you were rattling them off so fast.
What's above North Carolina?
That's the Virginia one, if I remember right. You got Virginia, West Virginia.
Delaware? Did we say Delaware?
We said Delaware. Yeah, said we said Rhode Island. We said Vermont. We said New Hampshire. We said Connecticut.
So further down south on the East Coast.
So further down south on the East. And we said South and North Carolina.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think through city capitals some too.
Yeah, we said Florida, so Georgia, Tennessee.
Our nation's capital is going to be in this.
Oh, Maryland.
Maryland, there you go. Yeah, that's all 50. All right.
We had some help there.
50 nifty United States. From 13 original colonies.
All right, if you want a fun game to play at home.
Count them, shout them, sing all about them.
I'm just glad he didn't do presidents because I would be useless at that.
Golly.
I would have known 1, 2... 16.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt.
Yeah. Ooh, Kennedy. That would have been
a nightmare.
That would have been embarrassing.
All right. Good job, guys. You knew geography. Get ready because next time we'll do the nation of or the continent of Africa and see if you can name the countries. There's like 58 or something like
58
that.
58 countries?
It's crazy.
Egypt, Ghana, South Africa.
There you go. Yeah.
Zimbabwe.
All right. That is a wrap, and we've had a fun day. Next week, we are in part two of the series Searching. Adam, do you remember the topic off the top of your head?
As of today, it's searching for identity.
Identity. Okay.
That may change. I'm still wrestling on that one. The other four or three are solid.
Yeah.
Just still bouncing back and forth.
Cool. And yeah, that's good because we want to be spirit-led. And
yeah.
So we're waiting for that, but we'll hope to see you back next week for the second week of Four Services. And until then, we love you and we like you. So have a great week.